Hi, everybody, and Happy New Year. It's a funny thing to say Happy New Year, but it makes perfect sense. We want people to have a Happy New Year. By the way, I have been wishing people Happier New Year, given how, well, I'll use a nicer word than I was thinking of, how not so wonderful the last 2 years have been. I wish you a Happier New Year. I'm Dennis Prager. This is the Fireside Chat number
220.
And I won't philosophize about it. I do that every week. 220. You should watch the other 219 in any order. It's not relevant, but it's all good stuff. This is Otto, needless to say. Otto is out like a light, as they say. And what is this? This is a chance to talk to you about whatever's on my mind and take your questions from you all over the world. Okay, so I was thinking, given that it's the first Fireside Chat of the year, I should talk to you about New Year's resolutions and make the point that I am told I made last year. However, I don't expect people to remember anything they hear once. It's a human problem. It's just a fact for anybody. Once is not enough. You got to repeat things over and over. How many times did your parents say to you, say thank you, say thank you, say thank you? How come it doesn't work the first time? Okay, so you get my point. Anyway, very quickly, I'm a big believer in New Year's resolutions, even if you break them, because at least you have made the resolution. That means you are aware of something you should do. That's a biggie. So I just want to make that clear. People who knock it, there's a certain mentality that obviously I don't have that knocks, that's cynical, that is cynical about everything that is good. Why would anybody knock the idea of a New Year's resolution? I mean, you got to be a pretty gloomy human being. I mean, you could say, look, make them. You'll probably break them. All right, fine. But don't even bother making them or have some philosophical opposition to New Year's resolutions. That doesn't speak well of the opponent. It's a beautiful thing to do it. It makes you think things through. What can I do to have a better year, a better life, a better me? Why would that on God's earth be bad? Okay, so I jotted down right before this, I admit it, I'm sure if I had thought about it for a week, I would have come up with more or even better, perhaps, but I like this to be as spontaneous as possible. So this is what I jotted down. Megan is a living witness to that fact, correct?
Oh, yes.
Just did it. No order of importance. Get into one good habit. Life consists of habits. Good habits and bad habits. That's really what life consists of. And it's hard to get into a good habit. It's easy to get into a bad habit. I mean, if you had, let us just say, I'm taking an innocuous thing because it's not bad in a moral sense, but let's say you decided to have an ice cream sundae every night before you went to bed. You would get used to that very quickly, and it would become a habit. On the other hand, I'll tell you, on the other hand, I have been doing what's called intermittent fasting, and I'm not recommending this. I'm just telling you that I've read a lot about this. I've had doctors who've written on this on my radio show, and I'm convinced that it is a healthy thing to do. I have not lost any weight, which may be apparent. I am convinced that outside of being incarcerated in a concentration camp, I am not capable of losing weight. I work out, I eat probably under 2,000 calories a day, and fast at least 15 hours a day to no avail. I'm not complaining. If this is my one great problem in life, I am one of the luckiest people on earth. However, I did decide 3 years ago that I would give it a try because I read how good it could be for you in terms of longevity, in terms of giving your system a rest every day. So I go 15 hours minimum almost every single day, just drinking. I just have something to drink, usually in my case, iced coffee. And that's now a habit. Now, if I don't do it, I feel like I've overeaten. And so I got into a good habit. By the way, not everybody could do it. I fully know that they'll get headaches if they don't eat more often, and you shouldn't do it in that case. I'm not proselytizing for intermittent fasting. I'm only giving you an example of a good habit. Another good habit that is very hard to start is giving charity. Okay, almost nobody wakes up and goes, "Ooh, how much money can I give away today?" I mean, unless you're a very rich person, most people don't think that way. But once you start doing it, it's very hard not to. Anyway, there are so many good habits. Going to bed earlier, which I've never mastered in my life. I don't even make a resolution to go to bed earlier because I will break it that night. So I try not to make resolutions I know I won't keep for a day. If I keep it for a day, maybe I'll make it. Anyway, get into a good habit. It's really, really big deal. Read something for a half hour a day. If you're a video game addicted, play an hour less a day. In other words, there's so many good habits you can get into. And if you can't figure out any, that's a problem. That's an issue. But somebody who loves you and cares about you might help you. Well, now that you asked, here's a suggestion. Okay, next. You won't expect this one. Don't get insulted. You will lead a much happier life if you don't walk around looking to be insulted. Most people, let me put it to you this way. Most people who get insulted frequently are looking to be insulted. I am insulted on a mass basis regularly and do fine. I never walk around thinking, "Oh, I was insulted." Let's say you are insulted. So what? By the way, that's almost a New Year's resolution unto itself. Being able to say "so what" more often, letting things roll off your back. I mean, by the way, and also there's a difference between an insult and a loving criticism. You want loving criticism, otherwise you won't get better. But the people have to learn how to criticize loved ones too, because you have to put it in a very good way that it is clear that you appreciate the overall wonderfulness of that person. But here's an area where you could work on something and get better. Here's just a trivial example of that. So a good friend of mine, who's a very bright guy, and he sent me an email. And he misspelled non sequitur, which is pretty damn easy to do. Non sequitur is about as tough as Albuquerque. How many Americans who don't live in Albuquerque can spell Albuquerque? So I'm a big one on spelling. I can spell Albuquerque and I can spell non sequitur. I always wanted to spell things right. Anyway, I wrote him back that the proper spelling of the word non sequitur, and he wrote me a huge thank you note. That was very sweet of him. He wanted to make sure to know that it was fine for me to do, and that he actually appreciated it, as I would. If I sent an email with a misspelled word, I don't mean a typo, but I mean a misspelled word, of course I'd want somebody to tell me, and I'll tell you why. That way, the next time I don't do it. Why do I want to continue spelling something wrong? I like being corrected on the radio. If I said something that's wrong, I want to be told it immediately so I don't do it again. Anyway, this notion, everybody is now triggered, insulted. You are taught, this has been true since I was a kid. It's like there is now a way to be insulted gratuitously. I mean, This is a super sensitive arena because there are awful things that are said to women by men. I am totally aware of that, and it's not right. However, not everything a man says should be taken as an insult. You know, almost men are so afraid today to say anything to a woman. You look good in that dress, which is about as innocuous as, you know, I really like when it's 70 degrees. And yet, what was behind that comment? Who cares? What's the difference? You know, take life a little more easily and don't get insulted easily. Here's my final comment on that. Whether you get insulted is usually your choice. That's critical. Third, they're all unrelated, which is a nice thing. Study the Bible. Now, for many of you who have gone through the secular brainwash known as school, this sounds like a moronic idea. I might as well tell you to practice voodoo. So if you think that, just know that the greatest minds in history in the Western world all knew their Bible really, really well, even if they were not actively religious. Abraham Lincoln is the best example, man who quoted the Bible regularly and had one on his nightstand and almost never went to church. But he knew it's the greatest repository of wisdom ever written, and it is. And I debated whether I should mention this, but I'll let the chips fall where they may. The best way to start, in my opinion, is with my books, The Rational Bible, where I explain things rationally. I'm not trying to win you over to any religion, just want to win you over to the wisdom of the greatest books ever written, the first five books in particular. So you'll do what you will, but I'm telling you, there are 4,000 reviews on Amazon of the first two that came out. Third one's coming out later this year. Genesis and Exodus came out. And read what people wrote. How I was an agnostic and now I take God seriously. It's called The Rational Bible. You want to start with something else, go right ahead. But I'm telling you, that's one of those good habits. Start studying the greatest works ever written. It'll change you. Another one, buy from local stores and from smaller websites. I'm really worried about small business. They are the backbone of America, small businesses. And wherever I can, I try to patronize a local store. And on the internet, I try to avoid the giants. Well, it's very convenient to order from Amazon. I fully acknowledge that. But helping a smaller company on the internet with that, the extra 90 seconds it takes to fill in your credit card, as opposed to just click something, it's 90 seconds that will really help the country. And wherever you are in the world, keep that in mind. It's not only applicable to Americans. So I mean, if the item, you know, is $7, it doesn't matter much. But if it's an item of anything, you know, over $25, let's say. Like, I'll just give you an example. So I'm a big fan of shampoo. I'm the only man I know who likes shampoo. I'm fascinated by shampoos. It's one of the secrets of my life. When they say, tell us something that nobody knows about you. I always say, I'm crazy about shampoo. Not the smell. The smell, women care about the smell. I just care if it works. But anyway, I'm fascinated. So I can get it on Amazon, but I always go to another store on the internet to get the shampoo. That's just an example. Why not? Okay, what else? Oh, this is related. When feasible, buy from countries other than China. I'm sorry to say this. It's not anti-Chinese. It's anti-communist. The regime in China is a very, very bad one. Treats its own people awfully, which is true of every bad regime. So that's something I don't always do it because some things I really want and they're only made in China, But by and large, I do look to where something is made. Two more. If you're single, work on finding somebody to marry. This is, I'm sort of a broken record on that one. You will thank me later, as many people do. I get this so often. It's because of you I married. You, Dennis. Because I've made the case, and it is a better way to live a life. And it's not easy to find the right person, so make the effort. I'm a big fan of internet dating. I don't see a single downside. You have all the control in the world not to have your address or phone number on it, and you can spend 2 months just on Zoom to see if you really want to meet this person. I don't understand why you wouldn't. And when you do, by the way, be as specific as possible about who you are, so that you weed out those who may not want you. If you're religious, say you're religious. If you're conservative, say you're conservative. Say who you are, so that you weed out the people that you may not want to spend the time dating. It doesn't mean that they're not a good person. It just means you want to share values. And finally, which is related, work on finding and making close friends. As I have said on my radio show for all of my career, you should date for friends the way you date for a spouse. I don't know how you go through life without close friends. I couldn't do it. I don't know how anybody does. Okay, so here's the story on the video question. That's how we always open up the question part, with a video question. Usually I see it right before I go on with you. However, Megan wanted me to spontaneously react. I have not seen the question. I have not seen the questioner. And here we go.
Okay.
That is the famous arm. Okie doke, I'm nervous.
Hey Dennis, I'm Danny T, husband of Megan's arm. I'm 30 years old from Burbank, California. Currently, my wife is pregnant. I would wanted to know if you have any thoughts on people having kids during this political climate that we're in right now. A lot of people are
saying...
Wait
a minute, how can you keep talking after you give me... You got to give me a minute. Danny, I'm sorry. I don't hear a word you're saying.
Everything that's going on, but okay. You know, we're pregnant.
Holy crow. I'm chilled. I'm totally chilled. I could cry. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
Oh my God, really? I'm tearing up. Oh man. Oh, that's really wonderful news. That's a big deal. Did he say anything after that? I heard a voice.
I can tell you.
What did he ask?
A lot of people choose not to have kids because of the political climate. Like, they don't want to raise their kids up in this time. Or a lot of people will say, you know, take your time, travel. You know, like people who just...
I get it. Just like, right. So that was all heard, right? The summary that Megan gave. First of all, you taught me what to do now. Hey, Danny, God bless you. I blew it. One minute. I'm going to get it right. I did. There we go. Oh, God. The notion that you don't bring a child into the world, that you don't become a parent because life is tough, is only said by people for whom life has not been tough. Basically, and I don't mean this as an insult, even though it'll sound that way, but remember, don't get insulted. It's spoiled. People are spoiled. As I have said, secularism plus affluence is a very bad combination. It produces a boredom. It produces a safetyism. People are more afraid of life who haven't suffered than people who have suffered. Why did Jews, whose whole families were murdered by the Nazis, why did they have children? And you're not going to have children because of COVID? May I have a vomit bag? That is my reaction to that. I have no sympathy for that notion. I have contempt for the notion, not for the people who say it, but for the notion. You're not going to bring a child into the world because of global warming or because of COVID or whatever. Then when should people have brought children into the world? Do you know how much suffering has been the norm in human existence? What was the lifespan 500 years ago or 300 years ago? What was the average lifespan? 35, 40? Why did they bring in? Oh, you know, you're going to die at 40 anyway. Why have a child? Oh, look, there's a plague. Oh, look, there's a war. There's always wars. Okay. I can only say this, that those who don't want to bring in a child into the world because of global warming shouldn't. If you're that foolish, I can't say I lament your decision not to reproduce. Okay? To put it bluntly. Danny, congratulations. You're a terrific couple. Your kids are lucky to have you as parents. Oh, and be strict. Your kids need guardrails even more than love. This was one of the great tragic notions that developed after World War II, that all kids need is love. It's one of the most colossal mistakes made in the last half century or more, really. World War II ended in 1945. It's a long time ago. And that's when the ideas developed, like Dr. Spock. He was the big, big child-rearing guru. All your kids need is love. No, your kids need a lot of things. And most of all, they need guardrails. They need parents who are strong, who teach them no. As John Rosemond, that great, great child psychologist, said, you know what vitamin your kid needs the most? Vitamin N. And what is vitamin N? The word no. By the way, John Rosemond made a PragerU video. We have terrific, terrific PragerU videos.
That was an early, early video.
A very early video. I'm a big fan of John Rosemond, child psychologist. My parents told me they loved me before I was, say, 21, when they told it to me more often, interestingly. I would say they said it maybe three times in my whole childhood. I turned out pretty normal. Very normal. I'm actually a healthy dude. Doesn't mean I don't have issues, but every healthy person has issues. It's like healthy people get colds. It doesn't make them sick, a sick person. But they did give me guardrails. And they gave me models, which is critical. I saw in my father what type of man I would like to grow up to be. Boys need that tremendously. And girls need a father to teach them how they should be treated by a man. Girls who are bonded to their fathers make much better choices in men than girls who don't. Doesn't mean you can't. I'm just telling you what the statistics are. Okie doke. Eric 25, Sioux City, Iowa. Hey, love your show. Could you talk about the idea of perfectionism? That would be a great subject to talk about. I've never talked about it. I don't quite understand what it even is. I'll assume it means that you pursue perfection and you feel frustrated and angry at yourself if you don't achieve it. Is that fair? Is that the issue? Okay. So all I could say is, to the extent that I could talk to your mind and not your brain, you should pursue perfection, but never assume you'll achieve it. That's all. What does it mean, even perfect? Perfect what? If you build houses, you're going to build a perfect house? What does a perfect house even mean? I don't know what it means. Well, I don't know what perfect anything means. That's why I personally never think of it. What I strive to do is the very, very best possible. That's what I strive to do. That's it. But do I ever enter my radio show? Yeah, I'm going to have a perfect show. Give a speech. I'm going to give a perfect speech. Write a book. I'm going to write a perfect book. I don't even get it. It's pretty useless. I think the word perfect is generally useless. The whole problem with the left is that it compares America to a perfect society instead of to other real societies. So I'm not a fan of the word perfect. Annie, 13, Montesano, Washington. You ever hear of Montesano? Me neither. By the way, do you know that there is a city in Washington? You're going to crack up. Are you ready? The city's name is George. So imagine saying, oh, so where do you live? I live in George, Washington. It sounds bizarre. You live in George, Washington? Yes. And I only know it because my younger son was born in Eastern Washington. I was there the day his birth mother gave birth to him, and my then wife, my late wife, and I adopted him that day. And so I drove from Eastern Washington to Seattle, across the whole state, and past the city of George. And that was 29 years ago. Hard to believe. He's getting married in a couple of months. To a wonderful woman, by the way. Anyway, so Annie, 13 years old in Washington State. Hello, Mr. Prager, Otto, and the Arm. Oh, that's too much. Capitalized. I live in a small town in Washington. It must be, because I never heard of it. My town has many churches, so I normally assume many people are normal. When I go to youth group at my church, my peers are talking about their mentally deranged classmates. I am homeschooled and do not deal with such. But some of the school kids are acting like animals and calling themselves furries. Mr. Prager, why are some people like this and how does one deal with them? Thank you for your time. Well, this is new to me. I have to say, I'm not, to the extent that this exists, I believe you. You couldn't have made it up anyway. You ask, where does this come from? And I know the answer, boredom. That's where it comes from. Boredom is one of the most animating states of human life that exist. People who are bored will seek excitement anywhere. They will seek attention anywhere. And this is that would be an example to me. If you wake up one day at 13 and you say, you know, I'm really an animal, that is a function of boredom. Your parents should have given you the clarinet. Take up your time with something.
Accordion.
Shatter accordion. Yeah, accordion, exactly. It's a very real problem. Affluence easily produces boredom. Affluence doesn't mean rich. It means that you're not worried about your next meal. People who are worried about their next meal are never bored. Tyler, 12 years old, Castaic, California. Hi, Otto, Megan's Arm, Snoopy, Nathan, and Dennis. It's getting longer, this list, I'll tell you. You're going to have to include Forrest, who sometimes is here for Nathan, or just here. Forrest is here today. Thank you for your fireside chats, which help me to know what is actually going on out there. I've recently started watching your chats for that reason. I have asked you a couple things before, but I know that they've dropped off a long time ago. Such as if there are any okayish colleges left and where our country is going. But today I would like to ask what Democrats think of Republicans. What would a leftist tell their child a Republican is? Thank you so much for your weekly wisdom. God bless you. Well, God bless you, Tyler. So generally speaking, the further left you get, the more the belief is that Republicans are selfish. That's the key. That's their key word. Plus, of course, six herb. Sexist, intolerant, xenophobic, homophobic, Islamophobic, racist, and bigoted. I made up that acronym so long ago that it's obviously committed to memory. That is what they think. But it's an interesting thing if you tell them, you know, that's really interesting, given the fact, and this is a fact, this is not an opinion, that conservatives give more charity of same income, same overhead, same everything. They give more charity than per capita than liberals and especially leftists do. So it's an odd thing to say. By the way, if you heard that a couple adopted a child with special needs, physical deformity, mental issues, would you assume that it was someone on the left or someone on the right? I would assume it's someone on the right. Not that nobody on the left does it, but I would assume that somebody on the right did it. Also, volunteering time. Conservatives do that more than people on the left. So calling Republicans selfish is the left-wing tactic of simply smearing opponents, not prove that the smear is accurate, and moving on. That is what is at issue here.
Okay.
That's time.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, time flies when you're having a good time. I obviously enjoy this. You obviously do too, because otherwise you wouldn't be watching. So I think that's very important that I make this both deep and enjoyable. That's my intent. I wish you again a happy new year. I hope you'll take some of the resolutions to heart, and I'll see you next week. Thank you for watching this video. To keep PragerU videos free, please consider making a tax-deductible donation.